Father, just thank you, Lord, for your word that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And I pray, O God, that this morning, O God, that you would impart faith, O God, to each one of us, O God, that you will bring us, O God, into a new level of faith, O God, so that we can accomplish, O God, everything that you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I was praying this week, you know, and interceding, and we're coming into a new year, the Lord wants to increase our faith. So the title of this message, I take it from a statement that the apostles made to Jesus. They failed a lot of times as they try to cast out demons, as they try to walk with the Lord. And they realized that without faith, they were not going to make it. So they approached the Lord one time and said, Lord, increase our faith. And I start by quoting James chapter 1, starting at verse 6. James says, whenever we ask God for anything, we should ask in faith without doubting. Because anyone who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that person think that they'll receive anything from the Lord. That person is double-minded in all their ways. So James is telling us that if we ever going to receive anything from God, it has to be by faith. You're saved by faith. You walk by faith, and God keeps you through faith. It is by grace that we're saved through what? Faith. So we see that James is saying that everything God is going to do in your life, if you're going to grab a hold of everything that God has for you in 2018, you have to exercise your faith in God. He says, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. And the one that puts doubt in your mind is Satan. Now, we all have moments of doubt, but we never should allow that moment of doubt to become a lifestyle of doubt. We need to believe God for what he has promised us in his word. That's all Satan has is deception and doubt. And we can go back all the way to Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1, that says, and the serpent was more crafty than any animals the Lord God had made. And the serpent, possessed by Satan, said, did God really say you can't eat from the trees of the garden? Immediately he put doubt upon Eve's mind. Is God really telling you the truth? And then Eve tells him, we may eat freely from the trees of the garden, but the one in the middle of the garden, we shall not eat of it, neither shall we touch it, or we will surely die. The serpent told Eve, you will not surely die. See what's going on there? God speaks the truth, Satan speaks lies. And the Bible says that when she saw that the fruit was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit. Satan lied to her and told her, if you eat of it, you're going to be like God. So we see that all Satan has is deception and doubt. He puts doubt in our minds, because if we're ever going to accomplish anything through God, is always by faith. The greater the calling, the greater level of faith requires of you from God. Because God wants us to move into a new realm, but we cannot remain in that same level of faith if we're going to grow. The Bible says we go from faith to faith. Everything that God allows in your life is to increase your faith. Every day you're fighting for your faith. That's why Paul the apostle told Timothy, fight the good fight of what? Of faith. And at the end of Paul's life, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You're fighting for your faith every single day. And we see how the enemy deceived Eve. And now in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, there was false teachings going around. And Paul recognized the source of that false teaching. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, I'm afraid, just as the serpent thousands of years ago deceived Eve, that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. He recognized that, wait a minute, that false doctrine and doubt and unbelief, the source of it was Satan. All Satan has is the same old trick wrapped up in a new package. He is a deceiver, and he tries to cause you to doubt the word of God. Because if you start doubting the word of God, where else are you going to turn to? What is the definition of faith? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, the Christian operates in the sixth sense, which is faith. The unbeliever doesn't have that. We know that God exists, that God is real. We know that His sovereign hand has been guiding us, and He's called us, and He's anointed us, and He's blessing us. But we believe in the invisible God. The Bible says that Moses was able to endure everything that he went through because he saw Him who was invisible. Do you see Him who's invisible this morning? His presence, His glory, His power. It is by faith. In Matthew chapter 17, I'm just going to illustrate some examples of faith and Jesus teaching on faith. Because as I begin preaching, the Holy Spirit is going to stir your spirit up so that you can grab a hold of everything that God has for you. In Matthew chapter 17, starting at verse 14, when Jesus came out of the Mount of Transfiguration, He took Peter, James, and John with Him. And at that moment, He transfigured Himself. His clothes became white as snow. And then Moses and Elijah appeared to Him, talking about His death. And then after He comes down from that mountain, He sees the other disciples and a crowd arguing. And all of a sudden, a man comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely." Now, the Greek word epileptic means moonstruck. They believed that epilepsy was caused by the influence of the moon. So He's saying, "Lord, have mercy upon my son because he's moonstruck. He suffers severely, and often it throws him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can have mercy on us." That young boy had a spirit of suicide, trying to kill him, throwing him into the water and into the fire. But was he really moonstruck? And then the man says, "I brought him to your disciples, but they cannot cure him." Now Jesus teaches the disciples a great lesson on faith. The disciples have failed. They already went out casting out demons, but this one was a little different. This one was a little stronger. And then Jesus says, "Bring the boy to me." And He tells the disciples, "You faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" And then the Bible says, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Was he moonstruck? It was a demon that was causing the epilepsy, the seizures that convulsed him and threw him into the water, into a fire. You know that the world has no resolution for epilepsy or seizures. Pills to calm them down. That's all they can do. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. How many know that we have the dynamite of God dwelling inside of us, that we see somebody that has a seizure or epilepsy, we can lay hands on them and say, "In the name of Jesus, devil, I command you to come out." But we need to believe God. God is waiting for some poor soul to grab a hold of the Bible and believe that these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak in new tongues. God is waiting for a poor soul to believe that word with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we see that He healed that boy. But the great part is that the disciples were not satisfied. When they went back to the house, it doesn't matter if we fail. We always go to the Lord. And they went and asked the Lord, "Lord, why couldn't we cast it out?" Anybody fails, but don't be comfortable with the failure. Ask the Lord, "What happened? What could I do different?" And Jesus told them, "Because of your unbelief, your lack of faith. Or surely I say to you, if you say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So He recognized that they were not able because of their lack of faith. They didn't have enough faith in God to do what God had called them to do. And then in verse 21 it says, "However, this kind of demon does not go out except through prayer and fasting." How many know that when you fast, the electric power of God comes upon you? And when you lay hands on somebody, it's released. This kind does not come out through prayer and fasting. And as we read the book of Acts, the disciples learned that lesson. And then they started praying and fasting and believing God. So we can fail here and there, but never be satisfied. Begin to fast and pray. And I've went through that many times. We try to cast out a demon from this young girl who used to watch The Exorcist every day. And she used to wake up with bruises and they used to touch her sexually. And me and my next door neighbor try to pray for her. And this demon would not budge. She said, "You fast and I fast, and then we'll get back on it." I said, "Amen." They brought her, We fasted that day. We started praying and laying hands. There was such a manifestation that they didn't want to let her go. But in the name of Jesus, she was released. And God set her free by the power of God. Because some demons don't come out except through prayer and fasting. See, in the early church, they used to fast and pray. And today, we want to feast and play. The reason why so many people are bound is because people are not paying the price and saying, God, I want to see people set free. And that young lady got set free, and to this day, she's serving the Lord. Now she's in Florida, married a pastor. She still texts me, you know, asks me questions about the things of God. But God set her free. Why? Because there were people that prayed and that fasted, that paid the price to see the strongholds of the devil broken in her life. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to allow the Lord to increase our faith and bring our faith to another level? In Matthew chapter 15, a Canaanite woman came to Jesus. And she went to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my daughter. She is demon-possessed and is suffering terribly. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't answer her word. And then the disciples said, Lord, what should we tell her? She keeps bothering us. And then Jesus tells her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You got to understand that in his ministry, he focused just on the Jews. The Gentiles were going to come in a little later. But we see that this woman wanted healing for her daughter. She was so desperate. I only came for the house of Israel. And then he goes on to say, it is not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Insulted her right there. At that moment, she could have said, you're right, I'm leaving. But God loves a persistent woman that continues, that won't give up, that lay hold of the promises of God. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord. In other words, you're right. But even the dogs lick the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then the Lord said, woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted. Her daughter was healed from that very hour. Why? Because she had great faith. She turned to the Lord in her time of desperation. There was no solution for her except the Lord Jesus Christ. And she recognized that. And she bargained with the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want a whole loaf of bread. All I want is a crumb of that healing power. And I'll be all right. I'll be on my way. I won't bother you anymore. Just let me get a crumb of that healing power. My daughter's suffering severely. Demon-possessed. Some of our kids are suffering severely. Going through problems. It's going to take a people that increase in faith and believe God and fast and pray and allow God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And you begin to pray, Lord, I ask you right now to release your anointing upon my son, upon my daughter. I command the devil to turn them loose right now in Jesus' name, because your word says that he who is in me is greater than the devil who is in the world. I have authority over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. We need to stand up as a church and confess what the Word of God says. Lord, increase our faith. And then in Matthew chapter 9, it says that Jesus went on from there, and two blind men followed him, crying out, have mercy on me, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and asked him, do you believe that I am able to do this? Look at the question Jesus asked. Do you believe I am able to do this? He's still asking that question. Do you believe that God can use you? Do you believe that your family members can be saved? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Or we just say, yes, we believe it in our minds, but in our hearts we truly are filled with doubt. In other words, sometimes we have more faith in the devil than in God's word. We watch the news and we allow all that negativity to infiltrate our spirit, and we're so down and discouraged and depressed because we're not feeding upon the living word of God that causes us to increase our faith in the name of Jesus. Do you believe I am able to do this? They said, yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. according to your faith. You only receive from God according to your faith. No faith, there is no receiving from God. A lot of faith you receive from God. Every man and woman of God that has done great things for God has always been people of faith, and they've always, always, always been strong in the Word of God. That every time they open their mouth, thus saith the Lord. They understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every man or woman of God you know that have left an impact on this world has been man and woman of faith. And the Bible left us a chapter, Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame of all the great men and women of God that have walked by faith. We're no different, church. We also have to walk by faith. We have to lay hold of the promises of God. If God has called you to preach or to teach or to do something great, as He has all of us, it requires faith. It doesn't happen by you sitting passively by and waiting for it to happen. You need to activate your faith, because the Bible says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is? Thank you, Lord. Somebody knows their Bible. We need the faith of God to accomplish everything that God has for us. According to your faith, let it be done to you. He asked them, do you believe I'm able to do this? Now the question is, did Jesus have the power to heal them? Absolutely. Did He want to heal them? Absolutely. But why did He ask them, do you believe I'm able to do this? Because the power of God is released or activated by our faith. Faith is like a switch that turns on all the promises of God. And then they receive their sight, and Jesus warned them, see that no one knows about this. Two blind men, you know, they probably were born blind. And then in verse 31, but they went out and spread the news about Him all over that region. In other words, they had a big mouth. Jesus told them, don't tell anybody. They told everybody. Because when you're blind and you were dead in your sin, and when God does something in your life, you can't be quiet about what God has done for you, how He has delivered you, how He has set you free. That once you were lost, but now you're found. The misery that He took you out from, you can't be quiet. We need to shout it out from the rooftop that Jesus Christ is Lord. They were not able to keep quiet, even though Jesus Himself told them, don't tell this to anybody. But they were so excited that they had to tell. There was a man named Jesus who healed me. And then in Matthew chapter 8, the faith of the centurion. It says, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him asking for help. Now, a centurion was a Roman officer who was in charge of 100 soldiers. Now, this man was a man that had authority. He knew how to command. He was a high official. So he came to Jesus asking for help. He said, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but speak the word and my servant would be healed. And then he goes on to tell Jesus, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he comes. I tell this one, come, and go, come, and he comes. I tell my servant, do this, and he does it. He knew what it was to be under authority. A lot of people don't understand how God operates with authority and hierarchy and order and structure. He says, I'm also a man under authority. The emperor set him as a leader of those 100 men. He knows how authority works, that all you have to do is speak the word and things would happen. So he said, just speak the word and my servant would be healed. And look at what Jesus said. He was astonished and said to those following Him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believe it would. Just as you believe it would. Where you are now is because there's where your faith has taken you. If you want to go a little further, you got to increase your faith in God. You got to feed upon the Word of God and allow God to saturate you with His faith. So we see that when Jesus healed, it was always according to your faith. And then Jesus teaches on faith in Matthew 11, starting at verse 22. He tells his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours. You don't receive it first and then you believe. You believe first and then you receive. Believe that you have received it and it would be yours. In other words, believe by faith. Trust in God. Trust in His Word. People want to see and then they want to believe. That's not faith. Anybody can do that after they see. Faith with Christ for you to believe Christ, which is unseen. And then he goes on to say, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And that clogs up faith, unforgiveness. Whenever a person has unforgiveness in their heart, they can pray all they want, but it clogs up the faith of God. You got to remove that out of your life and say, Lord, I forgive this person so that faith could operate purely, so that faith can be activated. You can pray all you want, but if you have unforgiveness in your heart, God will not listen to you. You need to exercise faith and release that unforgiveness so that you can see the power of God moving in your life. And there's many other scriptures that talk about when Jesus healed, he always said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And the same thing with our lives. If you want to go deeper as an individual and as a church, God wants to bring us to that new level of faith. God is stirring up faith here this morning, just stirring us up to grab a hold of God. I'm going to read you two verses that are astonishing when I read them, because this is talking about Jesus, the Son of God, with all power and authority. It says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, when he went to his hometown, it says that they didn't welcome him. And he said a prophet is without honor in his hometown. They didn't respect him. And then look at what it says. He did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Now, this is Christ, the Son of God. It doesn't say he wouldn't do. He said he couldn't do any miracles there. Why? Because of their lack of faith. Could it be possible that God is trying to do something in our lives and our lack of faith is hindering him? Because we're stuck in our old ways. We're stuck in our old mindsets. We want God to do it this way when he's trying to take us into another direction. Mark says the same thing, but he adds a little more. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Those verses teach us that as much as God wants to do something in our lives, if we lack faith, it will not happen. We see how Jesus himself was hindered in his own hometown. They couldn't get over him. They just thought he was a carpenter. Isn't his sisters here with us? That's all they knew about him. They allowed their biases and their prejudices to hinder them from allowing Christ to do miracles in their own hometown. Only a few people that believe he laid hands on them and they were made well. So we see that unbelief stops God from working in your life. When the enemy fills you with doubt, you need to counteract that with the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're watching the news all day, your faith is going to leak out. You're going to have more faith in the government. You're going to have more faith in ISIS and what the Islam is doing and all these different things. You need to have your faith in the living God, because you have to understand that the Word of God never expires. It still works if you work it. It has no expiration date. If God healed yesterday, He'll heal today. If people are still suffering with epilepsy and seizures, you know what's the remedy? The same one that it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. If someone's suffering from demon possession, pills are not going to help them. Counseling is not going to help them. They need an infusion of the Holy Spirit. They need the anointing of God to come upon their life and set them free. The mission of Jesus is summed up in this one verse, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is the mission of Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me teach a little on that. That same anointing that was on Christ is on us. It's not a different anointing. It's the same anointing. But are we going to activate that power of God through prayer and fasting? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. That's our assignment, church. Not only to preach the gospel, but we also need to heal all those who are under the power of the devil, that suffer from addiction, that suffer from all these different things. Only Christ can set them free. It's one thing to be saved. It's a whole different thing to be delivered from the power of darkness. That those old sins and those old strongholds don't have a hold of you. That's why the Apostle Paul said, sin shall not be your master. Because he understood that when Christ comes in your life, he breaks the power of sin over your life. There is freedom in Christ, as we were singing earlier. That only comes through Christ. Satan offers bondage. Satan offers lies and deceptions. Only Christ offers freedom. You know how many mental cases we have, you know, in today's age? And they send them to the fourth floor and try to help them out. But that's not the solution. It's still the same old rugged cross. It's the bleeding side of Calvary. That never gets old. And that's why Paul the Apostle was able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to save those who believe. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Thank you, Lord. We're stirring up now. We're getting started. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way to live but by faith. To grab a hold of the promises of God. To do things that we wouldn't normally do. God always honors and is pleased when we have faith in him. He cannot do any miracles there because of their unbelief. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. A lot of Christians have that around. We live by sight, not by faith. Things are going on. I don't know if I'm going to get that promotion. That person doesn't like me. You know, that was supposed to go to me. And all this human reasoning. But if God promised you that promotion, you're going to get it if you walk by faith, not by sight. If you have your eyes on him which is invisible, God will move in your life. And God will open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open, because we live by faith, not by sight. And we could even change that a little bit to say we live by faith, not by feelings. Because there's a lot of emotionalism in the body of Christ. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like going to women's group and men's group. You can't live by feelings, because feelings fluctuate all the time. Feelings change, but what remains the same is the Word of God. What remains the same is your relationship with God. You got to learn how to live by your spirit instead of by your feelings. Because we live by faith, not by sight. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says, well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Where do you have your eyes this morning? Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ, or on the problems that you're going through right now, or on the problems at work or with family members? This one's not saved, and that one's not getting saved, and God is not using me, and all these different things that are going on. We need to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, have faith in God. We need to have faith in God, church, if we're going to progress. We need to have faith in God, church, if we're going to move forward in 2018. We can't receive greater things from God while we remain at that same level of faith. A lot of you, I believe, have plateaued in the things of God. God wants to shake you up and bring you into that new level of faith in him. But that only comes through prayer and the meditation upon his word. Faith begins to build up within you. As you read the Word of God, your faith increases. But then you stir up that faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't preach anymore on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jude says, verse 20. It's only one chapter. Jude, verse 20. He says, "But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith." That's the command. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit, Jude tells us. So how do we build up our faith? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Getting filled with the Spirit of God and allowing God to saturate us with His presence. That we begin to speak in unknown tongues. That we are a baptized people. That we are people filled with the power and the glory of God. And then in Hebrews 11:6, a famous verse. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because he who comes to God must believe that he exists." And this is the part that most people leave out. "And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." See how faith operates? When we're diligently seeking God, our faith begins to grow. And without faith, we can't please him. We need to constantly be on a pursuit of God, hungry and thirsty after God, that he still remains our first love, that we never get tired of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we never get tired of hearing his word, because we know that his word is the only hope for this society in America. That's the only hope, the church of the living God preaching the gospel. And I love what it says in Revelation. It calls the gospel the everlasting gospel. It never fades away. It never expires. It never grows old. It's everlasting. It saved people 2,000 years ago and it's still saving people today. That's why I love that song, "The blood shall never lose its power." Not one drop has expired. Not one drop has grown old. It still saves an old sinner that comes to him by faith and say, "Lord, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness." At that moment, instantaneously, in a nanosecond, that person becomes a child of God. That is the greatest miracle that we can ever see, experience in our lives. How a person becomes saved in a nanosecond by the power of the living God. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say it's hard to please God. It's impossible. And we all, as a church, we want to please God. We want to do things that our Heavenly Father is able to say, like he said with Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But we need to have faith in God. Nothing grieves the heart of God more than unbelief and doubt. Because we're saying that he is our loving Father, but we don't really trust him. We don't really believe that he has our best interests in mind. That our ways are better than his ways. That our thoughts are better than his thoughts. That's what we're saying when we don't trust God. I need a drink. James 5, verse 14. "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." Not the prayer offered in doubt. Not the prayer offered in unbelief. Not the prayer offered as, "I hope this works." The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The power of God is in this room, but your faith is what activates that power in your life. Your faith is what grabs a hold of that power. Every time we meet, every Sunday, the presence of the Lord is here. But your faith is what says, "I want that," and you receive from God. You know, somebody can preach on faith all day, but if you don't turn on that switch of faith within you, you won't receive anything from God. "The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven." So we see that God wants us to live by faith, especially in this new year. And you're fighting for your faith every single day. Jesus told Simon, he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you're strengthened, go strengthen your brothers." Jesus foresaw that Peter was going to deny him three times. So he covered him in prayer. How many know that the Lord covers us in prayer when we mess up? He knows that we're going to mess up, but he prays for us. If not, Satan would have sifted us a long time ago. We're fighting for our faith. And there's so many other scriptures. As you read the Gospels, I encourage you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I like what a pastor once said. He said, we don't need all these pills. We need the Gospels. Take that medication. And you see how your life starts changing, how your mind starts getting renewed. Take that medicine. And you see how God will begin to deliver you from all these evil things. But it takes faith in the living God. How many believe that, church? How many want to make a commitment and say, Lord, I want greater things, but it requires greater faith. I can't move on with God having that same faith. And we're still telling testimonies of what God did 20 years ago. That's great what God did 20 years ago. You know, when I go to my old church and they introduce me, oh, this is Peter who led 30 people to Christ. That was 20 years ago. Forget about that. What is God doing today? You know, people with stale testimonies. We want something new and fresh. We want to hear what God did yesterday. We want to hear that God is moving, that God is saving, that God is delivering. We don't want to be people that reminisce on the past. We want to be evangelistic, that believe God. Because as a preacher said, if we don't evangelize, we fossilize as a church, which means we become a museum. And what we have to talk about is what God did in the good old days. God is doing something new, but it requires faith. It requires trust in Him. Why don't we stand as we close, church?